broadcasting from the home of the Dodgers.
As the proud Dodger flagship station, we can't wait.
Oh, the home run!
This is the Petros and Money Show. With Petros Papadakis.
I brought my goggles!
And Matt Money Smith.
The voice of your Chargers.
Listen on your mobile device using our free iHeartRadio app.
It's good hour radio there.
Darn right it was.
Stop the show. Let's just acknowledge that. Good hour radio right now. Good hour radio. You just put in now. You
guys can everything, right?
You guys.
Rivalry week. Had a guest.
Waco.
Had,
Chip and Joanna.
Had space versus the deep sea.
I mean, we really had it going. You could podcast that awesome hour. It'll
we
be
reminisce.
Up in a second on the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone or AM570.
That entire hour might get replayed from 6 to 7 tonight.
It's such a sweet ass
not a bad
hour.
Idea.
It's good work.
I was trying to tell the story the other night. I don't remember where I was. I was, but someone was asking about the Pat O'Brien era.
What?
And what? And I couldn't control myself. And you know what happens regularly. I'm not good at composure. But when I was trying to explain the story.
Neither of us are.
No. When David Vasse was just minding his own business, trying to produce a show, and for whatever reason, Pat O'Brien stepped into the bullpen and hurled his watch at the back of Dave's head after it peppered Dave. And he turned around and he's like, "What was that all about?" And Pat just decided to say, "You see that watch? It's worth more than your effing house."
Yeah. and David just bought a house. He was so proud.
Just bought a house. And he walked over and just picked the watch up off the ground and put it back on and walked back into the studio. But he threw it and it hit Dave in the back of the head and he was so pissed.
That is a good one. That's better than your Tim Cates Maserati conversation with Pat O'Brien. Remember that one?
Cates.
You like my car? Pretty sleek.
Hey, tell him.
Pretty sleek.
Tell him.
Tell him about that guy.
That's right, because Cates, he was filling in for Joe at night to get some reps. Isn't that what it was? He was coming in to get reps to see if they wanted to put him on the cannons. And Cates had to kind of walk him up from the garage and
yeah!
sort of be his friend.
You saw that guy, didn't you? Pretty sleek.
Cates, go ahead, tell him.
Tell him.
Slick red Maserati. Tell him you saw it, Cates.
Tell him it's sweet.
That was the first time I heard the Name 10 Beatles songs, and I couldn't name two. He's like, you would never have hired. You could have never worked for me. Never.
You could never worked for me. Go
All
ahead,
my PAs get asked that
They
got to
name 10. 10 Beatles songs.
And he used to smoke in the stairwell, and our old building manager.
Who was asking you about it? Somebody on your show?
Someone, I think so. I think it must have been one of the people here on the Million Dollar Mile show who was asking, who must have worked with him or something. Because we've done like just so much whatever, you know, the Entertainment Tonight type of shows. That might be it. They were asking me and I just couldn't stop laughing. And they were looking at me like I was crazy because it certainly wasn't as funny to them as someone who was there to watch it. But remember our building manager, Ernie, who was this old guy who was super nice, but also kind of a curmudgeon.
From West Virginia.
he would walk up and down the halls and he'd be like, "Steven, where is that coming from?" He was trying to figure out why the hallway smelled like cigarettes.
And then Pat comes in with like a $500 T-shirt from Fred Siegel on going, "It's papery. It tastes like cigarette smoking, but it's not."
Well, Pat was smoking Marlboros in the stairwell.
That's right, he was.
And Ernie's like, "What the hell are you doing?" He's like, "What? It's not even in the stairwell. Building. It's a stairwell. What's the big deal? It's a big deal. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all." But when they moved the shit, because Pat hated us so much.
Hated
us so much that Pat had the whole show moved to Sherman Oaks. So they left. They left the building and went all the way, a freeway away, to the Sherman Oaks building right off the 405 and the 101. And that was when Pat threatened that one guy that called. He's like, "Come on.
Do we still
come
have
here.
That?
I'll be waiting in the corner. I'll be smoking a cigarette. And there'll be two hits. One hit me, hit you. You hit the ground. And I will drive you to the hospital. F you, you effer. You effer."
That's right. I'll drive you. I'll be the one that drives you to the hospital.
Andy Hartman will take you to the hospital. There's one right down the street, you son of a bitch.
And that was one of the great developments of the Secret Textoso line is you used to get people that were driving down Ventura Boulevard and Pat was outside smoking.
They would snap photos
of him smoking and send them to the Textoso line.
It was so bad. That's so awful. And you know, and we really, I mean, it wasn't our fault that he tried. And then remember Sam Batesh got on the phone with the guy because Robert Shapiro is that's the attorney, right? OJ's attorney.
Yes.
Sam
yes.
was like, if you threaten this show again, if you keep calling Pat and getting all mad at him, Robert Shapiro's gonna destroy your life.
That's right. We had that email. We had a listener forward us that email. Back in the day when we had PMS at PetrosandMoney.com as an email address. Oh, we're sorry. Listen, you know where to meet me. Ventura and Sepulveda, I'm right here. Come on. It'll be two hits. Me and you in the ground. Go ahead and tell him, Harmon. You can drive him to the hospital.
Tell him, Harmon. I'm pissed and I'm mad.
Are you guys still blocked by Pat on Twitter? I just checked. I am.
Not the OP. At the OP, free access. Like a free access corner. We can run that out in the smoke right in front of him.
No, we follow each other. P.O.B. At P.O.B.
Why
Pat
do
O'Brien.
You always skate and I'm always the bad guy?
What in the world?
What the hell? It's like I literally had Pat O'Brien calling my dad going, your son's effed up. He's effed up. He drinks. He's effed up.
He's a mess.
I don't know what his problem is. He's a freaking mess. You look at his face. He's got buttholes for eyes. You're dead. I mean, Pat O'Brien called my dad. Your son is an effing eff up. I mean, you got to do something about this. And Matt still follows him on Twitter, and he follows Matt.
He still
Matt.
Follows me.
What the hell, dude? Hey, you know what? I'm done. Rivalry week is going to be the end of me. My God. And you, Matt, you missed it. Dawn just came in at the last break and was like, oh, you guys are ever going to do some sports? All you guys doing are talking about chicken effing and missionary and chicken effing and farting and effing a chicken. That seriously, he said that like 20 times. I was like, I don't think anybody talked about effing a chicken, boss.
I mean, I know it's Thanksgiving, but we don't need to talk about chicken effing.
It's such a stupid show. I mean, I sit there listening to you for 15 minutes. All y'all are talking about is shiplap and blowing up Kate's and chicken effing. He kept saying chicken effing, like throwing that in. Like, what the hell? Am I wrong, Kate? I mean, that really happened.
It really happened. And Pat O'Brien has blocked at Petros and Money Show, too.
Well, yeah. Well, that's always been blocked.
That's always been blocked,
At the OP is not blocked. Free access. Because he didn't know at the OP. That was my Kevin Durant burner account before Pat had Twitter all figured out. So I can still figure out what, here it is, Nantucket in the morning. I can still look at Pat's Twitter whenever I want.
Happy birthday, Richard Starkey. His birthday was yesterday, you idiot. I know.
Shut up.
Shut up. I'm in Nantucket. Shut up.
Two hits. Me hit you. You hit the ground. It's over. That t-shirt I bought you is worth $400. Why'd you give it away? I didn't know. Leave me alone. All right, we can start the show. I'm sorry. All you guys want to do is talk about chicken effing.
Chicken effing.
There are pictures in Nantucket.
I told
first
you.
First 15 minutes there didn't qualify as sports.
No, we're starting out here.
At least
actually,
my number
it does.
Of the day
Pat O'Brien
is,
invented the NBA.
That's right. Well, no. Now, that's a mis. Now, that's not accurate, Pete. Don't do that to him. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Pat O'Brien saved the NBA.
Well put. Perhaps the truth depends on a walk around the lake.
That was almost a direct quote, by the way. It's Petros and Money on, oh my gosh, come on. I just went into his replies. And he is replying to Ringo Starr.
Pat
yes,
is?
Light album Friday, he's in love. And Pat replies, I fully understand. And Ringo did not reply to him. It's Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports.
Chicken Evers.
Listen, if you want ship lapping, chicken effing, and reminiscing, well, you are in the right spot for the next 4 hours. Much to our boss's chagrin, it is rivalry week. It is Clippers are 8-5 and have just knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks and Golden State Warriors.
We had a Clipper
back home contest. We just had Danilo Gallinari on. It is also the Rams are playing a Monday Night Football game, and they're handing out a bunch of tickets to victims of the Woolsey Fire. And they put tickets on sale today, I believe, at 1 o'clock. Is
good
that right?
Good stuff, yeah.
So big, big game. And, hey, Chargers, big Rams fans this week. Try to get the Chiefs to drop that game so that Thursday night or in primetime. Going to be a big deal in December, and that'll be the third. By the way, three of the Charger four games in December are going to be in primetime. They have a Saturday night primetime game against the Ravens. They have a Thursday night primetime game against the Chiefs, and now just announced like 2 hours ago, They have flexed their Sunday afternoon game on December 2nd against the Steelers to the Sunday night football night in America game. So big freaking deal, I guess, with all the sports around town. And there's some guy named LeBron James who plays for the Lakers, which apparently is a big deal as well.
LeBron James.
Christian Yelich is a big deal, Matt, and he's going to join us in 15 minutes. He's from the 805, and there's a big event for all of those affected up there, of course, in the Ventura County area. So we're going to talk to Christian Yelich, likely the NL MVP. It's going to be announced in a couple days. The great brewer, very nice. I came on the show for about 3 seconds during the World Series. I think you were on a plane with the Chargers, not during the World Series, during the NL. You know, it's hard to keep track, NLCS.
So much sports.
Yeah, Christian Yelich is going to join us. We sports it up so hard. You know, Christian Yelich is going to join us. We have Justice with Sweet James, and then we have Chip and Joanna's BFF, and also very close with the guy from One Republic, and according to Matt, the guys from The Fray, Joel Klatt will join us at around 5:20 in the final hour of the show before one more hour of PMS today. So we got a lot going
chicken
on.
Effing.
And chicken, we're going to be chicken effing all the way till 7, guys.
I think we might be chicken effing for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I mean, where do I work when my boss comes in and goes, "What the hell are you guys doing in the last?" I was like, "Well, did you like it or you didn't?" "Oh, you're talking chicken effing and ship lapping a Dan down the mile." I'm like, "Well, what is it? Is that bad? Is that were you entertained? Did you enjoy the chicken effing?"
That is the good thing about that. That is one of my favorite things about our boss, Dan Martin, too. Is he will yell at us, but then he wants to be part of the conversations that he's yelling at us about.
Yeah, he comes in, and you know, that guy really is it. He really is only missionary. That's the only time he has sex, just
that's
missionary
what he
style.
Will do. You guys, I mean, think about the demo. Think about your audience. And you guys are talking about a show that is on HGTV. Does that make a g-damn bit of sense? Here's the thing about Chip, though. He doesn't know his way around a nail gun now. I can tell. Exactly. Some of them guys don't know what the hell they're doing, but that Chip, he does. I mean, I saw him work the level.
It happens every year with The Bachelor.
Every
it's
year.
Like we go, "Look, I hate this girl. This Bachelorette sucks. She has no personality. Now, how in the hell could you come on talking about a nice young lady like that? But is she dumb? I mean, she's got to be the dumbest young harlot I have ever seen."
Bert's entertained. That's my guy. Do you have the text, though? So I have Bert. And Bert's not sleeping. He's been laughing uncontrollably for the last 10 minutes.
Somebody,
so I feel like our segment's working.
Somebody who was at Irvine asked, like, "Hey, is that guy behind you, that old guy, is that Bert?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, I watched him the whole." He just zones out, man. He's like,
he just falls asleep.
Pretty much.
That's what he does. And he's not doing it for effect. It's not like he's it's not like the self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, that he's putting on a show now for our live studio audience, because he's got an audience of one right now. And this audience of one has watched him fall asleep about twice already, and at least 5 times yesterday.
Now, Matt, I do have one reply from Pat O'Brien that is one of the saddest replies. I almost don't want to read it.
Oh, no.
It's they're talking about, like, something about John Tesh or something has, like, sent some kind of text or tweet about, you know, how time goes by fast. And Pat replied, of course, no likes, no retweets, no replies. Pat replies to John Tesh, "Time passes."
Oh, ouch.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
Well, sorry, boss. More chicken effing is what I got for your number of the day. It's 9. I think it's safe to say that the two of us, between the two of us, I approach travel in a little bit of a different manner than you. I wish I had your approach. Instead, I have this anal attitude toward travel. Everything has to be in its right place. I need to know the map of every airport, my connections, what time, how much time will it take me to walk, what kind of jet am I on, what's the best seat to be in, can I put a carry-on on, how big of a carry-on. It affects me greatly. And I was upset this morning, P, because the Wall Street Journal released their annual survey of the best big U.S. airports.
Oh, yeah?
And it's the most upsetting piece of news that I have.
Because you don't believe these to be the best big U.S. airports?
I hate them all.
Every one of them?
There should not be a list. Number 10 is Boston. It's one of the worst trafficked airports. It is damn near impossible to get in or out. To hell with the security line. You need an hour to figure out how to get into the damn place.
Where?
Because of where it's located. Logan Airport in Boston. That's number 10.
All right. Never been. I mean, I've been there, but it was a long-ass time ago. Logan Airport sucks.
They have Phoenix at number 3.
What about the rental car place?
The worst rental car facility anywhere on Earth is Phoenix, yet it is number 3.
It's a trap.
You never leave there.
Number 4 is Atlanta. Have
what?
You ever
With
felt like getting lost? You ever want to get lost in an airport? Go to Atlanta. Go to Hartsfield. That's where you're going to get lost.
Yeah, because you got
to
go down the escalator and then get on the train, but there's two
the
different
train,
trains and they're going different directions.
It's an airport where you have to have a connecting train. That's not allowed to be 5 or 4. 5? Would you like to sprint across a giant spread of a terminal only to be told that your flight was delayed because there's always thunderstorms? That'd be Dallas, DFW.
Yeah, and
number
that's got
5.
The AirTrain up top.
AirTrain up top. Oh, what's at number 6? Hey, the only place where secondhand smoke can make you want to puke. Las Vegas.
McCarran.
Ugh. They have LAX, which if there was any justice in the world, on a list of the top 25 best big airports in America, LAX would be listed number 900. That's where it would be.
I agree. That's my home airport, but I agree.
It's 9.
No!
9. The metrics by which they used to determine the top big airports. Security line wait times. I've been to LAX repeatedly lately. It is a disaster of security lines. Wi-Fi speed. What Wi-Fi at LAX? Average Yelp scores for restaurants. What the hell do I need that for?
What do you mean? They got a Ford's filling station at LAX, brother.
Uber cost to the local convention center. Rental car taxes and fees. Nonstop destinations, market dominance of the largest airline. I don't know how the Wall Street Journal, which is a respected periodical, could put this out and feel comfortable and feel good about themselves today. Like, you know, that best of the big airports, that really hit the spot. Number 1, by the way, P, I saved it for last. There's nothing like having a major metropolis's airport be an hour and 15 minutes from the city. Denver
no!
is number 1. Yes.
I the like moving, that horse. I like the red
the
moving,
I do like the horse. It's evil.
And I like and the moving like, aisles.
It is gigantic. And it is the largest security line you've ever seen.
And
it's
you can
daunting.
Get some sweet Indian gear at the Spirit of the Horse. All that leather.
You can get some great leather, blue topaz gear, fringe jackets.
Spirit of the Horse!
It is the worst list I've ever consumed.
Fair enough, Matt. And that was really well thought through, I thought, by you.
But sorry for the chicken effing.
A lot of chicken effers out there at the airport, brother. Tell you
he heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
Today's word of the day is Greek news. We have Greek news for the people.
More chicken effing.
Yeah, well, look. I mean, look, we have to pay this off. We had the global... the great global player, Danilo Gallinari, who just joined us in the very last hour. It was supposed to be Tobias Harris. But over the weekend, as you know, the Los Angeles Clippers were dominant. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks in overtime. They beat the Warriors in overtime. But when they did it in front of the Milwaukee Bucks, it was... the Greek Heritage Game in honor of Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak.
Greek
news.
News. That is Greek.
So the Clippers, being such a wonderful organization that loves us so much.
Love the Clips.
Sent us over some Greek Heritage Game t-shirts.
How'd they turn out?
Well, I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to put it
at
Petros and Money on Twitter. And... Pat O'Brien's never going to see it because he has us blocked.
Because you're blocked.
But thank you to the Clippers, and thank you for honoring Greek Heritage on Greek Heritage Night. Usually you need a city filled with hairy Greeks to have a Greek Heritage Night. Not so this time. Thank you. We have the Song of the Day with Ronnie Fascio.
This is the Song of the Day.
Ta-da.
Wednesday Night Melody is our song of the day from a local band called Bleached. Because the Petros and Money Show is on your radio with a Wednesday Night Melody of great sports talk. With a fully loaded episode of your favorite Marconi-nominated afternoon drive program as we move past the midweek marker, getting closer to that big game as it is rivalry week in the city of L.A.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about the rivalry week. Cates is devastated.
I am looking at the Clippers promotional schedule website. This is unreal. Like, this is the well that they have decided to go to this season.
European heritage.
We got Armenian Heritage Hat Night. We got Italian Hat Heritage Night. We have Irish Heritage T-shirt Night. Dominican Heritage Night.
Your ethnic, heretical team of record.
As the K-pop show of record, P, January 14th, Korean Heritage Commemorative Hat Night.
Book it. We're going. We're going old school Staples Center, like where that guy tried to punch Hartman right outside. Christian Yelich is going to join us next. It's popping, everybody. If you care, it's rivalry week. There's a lot of other stuff going on. SC-UCLA, though, Saturday, 12:30 kickoff, AM 570. Clippers will start on AM 570, though eventually it'll switch over. The whole game will be on AM 1150. And Matt joining us right now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, a special guy in the city of Ciudad.
No doubt. He's going to be the National League MVP. He's a Silver Slugger, a Gold Glover, a multiple-time hit for the cycle, and we would love to celebrate nothing but his baseball accomplishments, because quite simply is one of the best of the best, and he is a local guy made good, Thousand Oaks, California. Unfortunately, of course, some horrible events out in those parts over the last week, and he is doing some great things, and we want to highlight those as well. But it is wonderful for the first time to have Christian Yelich on the Petros and Money Show on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. What's happening, Christian?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing okay. How are you? Obviously, a very tough week for your hometown, and we know you're doing as much as you can and trying to help out that way, and you have a lot of things going on.
Yeah, we're working on a lot of stuff right now. Like you said, it's been a really tough week for this area, for a lot of people, a lot of tragic events, and just doing your part to give back and help out in any way that's possible. And that's a positive that you can take out of events like this, to see how people come together to help those who are most in need.
And we tweeted out a lot of the information, all the links for how people can volunteer, how they can help. It's all at our Twitter feed, at Petros and Money. Christian, when you're either in Miami or now you're in Milwaukee, how connected are you to your hometown?
Yeah, I mean, it's where you grew up. So no matter where you go and where you're from your career, everything always comes back to the places that you were raised as a kid, and the friendships and the connections and just everything that was a part of your life in your childhood is always special. And to see something like this happen in your hometown with so many people affected, it hits close to home, and you want to, you know, do your part and do anything you can to give back. And proactive sports is you know, having a Thanksgiving type dinner deal where people can donate and families who are in need can, go hang out for a little while, get away from it, and, hopefully get as much stuff as they need.
Yeah, if you're in the Westlake area, the Ventura County area, they're having a community Thanksgiving this Friday night at Proactive Sports Performance. It's a dinner and a gifting suite for folks to get new supplies. If you want to donate gift cards or merchandise, you can drop off at Proactive during business hours. And if you want to volunteer, 805-STRONG-THANKSGIVING@gmail.com. 805-STRONG-THANKSGIVING@gmail.com. Christian Yelich joining us right now. Tomorrow, he will be the NL MVP, and he's trying to help out his hometown. Obviously, a very difficult time. Have you been here ever since the playoffs ended for you guys, or did you go on a little trip or anything?
No, I came back here shortly thereafter. It wrapped up. I was actually supposed to be in Japan right now doing that whole MLB type deal that they're doing over there, but ended up not doing it because our season ran so long and had to, rest up and recover. But just came home, and a lot of stuff obviously gone down since then, which is tragic after an exciting year and came with that. So been here for a few weeks now.
Yeah, it is nice that you're there helping and trying to make people feel better in an area that has been rocked just last week. It felt like a month. You did have a great run this year. It was a really exciting season. You're going to be the MVP of the NL tomorrow. Does that sink in right away? Does it occur to you, or is it something that you're just kind of rolling with?
No, it still feels a little surreal. It's one of those things that you won't actually believe until you see it. No matter what people tell you, where it appears to be, it's one of those things that you're going to have to see. And even then, it's going to take a little while to set in. Because no matter what you do in your career or what kind of season you have, it's something that is an athlete you never expect to win or have happen to you in your career. So if it does happen, it'll be a special moment with friends and family, and hopefully it'll be a bright spot following such a tough week.
Christian, it's a good person to ask this question, and we do it regularly. We're the home of the Dodgers, so we have a lot of players on, and it's just odd what's happened to hitting in the league, and just how many strikeouts there are, how many guys are hitting 20 plus home runs. Is someone who's kind of got it all covered, RBIs, power, average, you can hit all over the place. Is it harder to hit now? Is it because of the specialists? Like, what is it that's happened to the hitter, and how things have changed so much these last 3 years?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's approach. It's pitching has gotten better. There is more specialty guys in the bullpens, and there's been more of a focus on the strikeout for pitchers, and less of a care, I guess, if you strike out as a hitter. I've never been that way. I haven't been on the so-called revolution, but a lot of us have been. I think that it's a byproduct of what you're seeing now. They're focused on true outcomes in baseball now, whether it's, homer, walk, or strikeout. And it takes a while, but I think the game always adjusts and corrects itself back to the mean. So I think you'll have these crazy outlier seasons, but then you have to end up making an adjustment to survive in the big leagues. And really just being in the big leagues is about being able to adjust and the league's constantly making changes, and as a player, you have to do that back, whether you're a pitcher or a hitter.
What is a launch angle? Do you know what that is? Like, we hear about that. It's like, man, yeah. It seems like you're swinging that bat pretty fast to know, where the ball's going to fly off of it.
Yeah. I mean, basically, they just want you to hit the ball in the air. They say, all home runs and slugging percentage and all impactful at-bats are done by hitting the ball in the air, which guys take that as to swing up, which creates holes in your swing, and it's a really long conversation that honestly that takes a really long time. And there's guys who are on both ends of the spectrum, and I think it's one of the reasons why you've seen such a rise in strikeouts over the course of the last few years.
Christian Yelich is with us, and he's doing some great things, specifically this community Thanksgiving. He's born and raised in Thousand Oaks, the pride of Westlake High School, and he is going to be announced as the NL MVP tomorrow, and he is part of this community Thanksgiving. They're doing it over at Proactive Sports. It's right there on Willow in Westlake Village, 3155 Willow Lane, Westlake Village. If you would like to donate, if you'd like to help out, all of those options are available, as it is a community that is certainly in need of help and the community helping one another out. You can get to their website, proactiveesp.com, or we have tweeted out all of the particulars at our Twitter feed at Petros and Money. Because the baseball season is so long, Christian, how much time do you get to do a lot of players have off-season homes in the areas where they grew up? Do most of them stay in the same town where they play? It just seems like when you got to show up in February or March and you're not done till late October, maybe it's kind of tough to try to have, I think, that separate spot, or is it?
No, a lot of guys do. And we had a lot of guys on our team actually affected by, these fires, all these events that took place. Three other guys that live out in this area, and it's hit close to home for everybody. So not just myself, but them as well. Bron, Moustakas, the Atanasios, our ownership. Lives out in Malibu as well. So it's something that's close, and we all feel the need to help out in a time like this. It's really common for guys to disperse once the season ends from the city they play in.
You know, and you heard it, I'm sure, growing up here. You know, and most of it, it seemed like it circled around the Lakers and free agency. But, oh, you know, everybody wants to move to L.A. When they're a free agent, you watch. They want to come to Southern California because of the weather and the atmosphere and the celebrities. Does that still play? I mean, is that still in – have you experienced that, that players are drawn to the warm weather climates or particular parts of the country? Or has it leveled just because of social media and the ability to be a star regardless of where you play?
I think at the end of the day, it goes to preference, what the individual player, perceives as his ideal situation. It's different for everyone, whether they like that lifestyle or they have a family or they don't have a family. It's all case by case basis, kind of from what I found. Certain guys love it, other guys hate it. They like the more of the small town feel, and other guys don't like the small town feel, and they like the lights in the big city. So. I think it depends who you ask, where the guy's at in their life. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. And in my case, it was a trade, so you don't have a say where you go. You know, fortunately, my situation ended up working out extremely well. But it's the world of professional sports. You know, it's a wild ride.
You're a young guy, but you're also a vet. I mean, 6 years, and you're about to win an NL MVP. So I think it still applies. Were you kind of growing, because you have a brother who plays professional baseball as well, were you part of kind of the year-round baseball thing? Were you on a club team? Were you on a travel team? Did you play other sports? You went to the public high school, but kind of what was your, I guess, experience like growing up in terms of baseball? Because now it just seems like from the time you're 6 years old, you have to choose which sport you want to play, and you got to play that, you know, 365, 24/7.
Yeah, I think the travel ball revolution, I guess you could say, was just starting. When I was a kid, I'd grown up like 12, 13 years old. So it's not what it is now, where you see these kids travel all over for multiple sports since they're 7, 8 years old, and they're run like professional organizations. But it's a product of living in Southern California, where you can play year round, and that was just what we did. I played with everything growing up, but I started getting into travel ball and more of that specialized stuff probably when I was around 12, 13 years old.
All right, the great Christian Yelich. We absolutely love him, and he's done a great job, and we're very proud of what he's accomplished. And I know the orange and blue of the Westlake Warriors are very proud, and you guys get over there. If you want to volunteer at the event, 805strongthanksgiving@gmail.com. Community Thanksgiving, Friday night, proactive sports performance. It's a dinner and gifting suite for people to get new supplies, and you can donate gift cards, new merchandise, drop off right there, like Matt said, on Willow at the Proactive during business hours. Christian, we really appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on all your success. You really are one of the good guys. 805 strong, man. Congratulations on everything, and have a great day tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You know, this should hopefully help a lot of people. So y'all have a good one. It's great chatting with you, and I'll see you around soon.
Right on.
How about
thank
that?
You, Christian.
Again, Daniel Jeremiah y'all on the way out. He's not only one.
And he's from Thousand Oaks. I mean, it turns out. It's 3155 Willow Lane. If you're out in that area, and I know it's tough to be out in that area still, but if you are, they could certainly use the donations. Or if you want to volunteer your time. If you can't afford to volunteer the goods, if you can afford both, that would be fantastic. 3155 Willow Lane in Westlake Village. It will be Friday night, the community Thanksgiving at Proactive Sports Performance Dinner and Gifting Suite for those affected by the Borderline shooting and the Woolsey fire, not to mention all the first responders they want to take care of as well. So again, it's 805strongthanksgiving@gmail.com. If you would like to volunteer for the event, they could certainly use it.
We'll be right back on PMS. Thanks to Christian Yelich. Go Warriors!
Big thank you to Christian Yelich. Going to be announced as the NL MVP tomorrow. Did it for the Milwaukee Brewers. One of the great seasons in recent MLB history as not only a hitter, but a defensive outfielder as well. And he is doing great things to give back to his community. Drafted by the Marlins straight out of high school. A Westlake High School Warrior and a Thousand Oaks native, and it's Proactive Sports where he does his off-season training that will be having the community Thanksgiving on Friday. We tweeted out the link for how you can help, how you can donate your time as well and volunteer. And it is a Thanksgiving, community Thanksgiving, as that community tries to rally around one another after just a horrible week of events between the Borderline shooting and the Woolsey fire. And of course, you can get that link at Petros and Money. And a big thank you to Christian for coming on, talking a little bit of baseball,
good
and obviously
stuff.
About trying to take care of that community, yeah.
And that launch angle thing, man, it's
launch
complicated,
angle.
Man. It's like an Avril Lavigne song. And Matt, oh, look.
The secret text also line.
Sold out to Chevy.
Matt, somebody reacting to your airport story, the
yeah.
Wall Street Journal, with a list of the top 10 airports, large airports in the country that you disagreed with vehemently, I think would
vehemently.
Be the right way to say it. Okay.
The only one I liked was Seattle. Seattle's a good airport.
SeaTac?
Yeah, like SeaTac.
What about Portland? PDX, no love in there?
I don't think it's considered major.
The hell?
I think Portland's like a mid-size airport, kind of like Indianapolis, also a really nice airport.
Yeah, that's nice. Hey, yeah. P, New Orleans has the best airport. From sorority girls leaving Mardi Gras wearing those I Got Bourbon faced on S Street shirts and a family of Bobby Boucher's leaving the swamp for the first time, there's fun for everybody. And that is true. The Louis Armstrong International Airport in the NO, the 504 right there in Kenner off of Veterans and the 10. Very strong. But I do have to say, Matt.
Which I believe has a wacky airport code. MSY, I think, is the airport code for New Orleans, even though it's Louis Armstrong Airport.
Yeah, it's because
weird.
It rhymed with Try Bud Dry. It was one of those.
That's exactly right.
A big MSY. Advertising thing in the 80s, and it just didn't work out. I got a lot of chicken stuff here for you, Matt.
Chicken nothing.
So much.
Thanks, boss, sold for the content. We appreciate it.
If you guys are going to talk about chicken effing, then you should come to a tour stop in Fresno.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to go down the line with all the chicken effing, Matt.
That's some real chicken effers up there.
If you guys missed it, Matt and I got a little loose early in the show talking about Waco and Chip and Joanna or something stupid because I'm going to Waco this week. And Don came in because he was driving here.
Our boss.
He's like, all you guys want to talk about is chicken effing? I mean, we got the Lakers, we got the Chargers, we got the Rams, and you had the rivalry week, and the Clippers are playing great. You want to F chickens? And no one said anything about chicken effing.
Never was that one of our topics.
Here's another one. I literally chicken tell effing. Everyone I know that I'm a loyal listener to PMS, and they should listen too, just so the ratings stay high, and you can talk about being chicken effers all you want. Suck it, Don. Here's another one, Matt, which is very much like your Danilo Gallinari fake voice theory from the
I
first
hour.
That
was a good theory.
He came on, though. It was him. Your boss set you guys up. He came in there and said chicken effing because he knew you guys would repeat it over and over and make your next segment funnier. Y'all got played, you chicken effers.
Yeah, we did. Hold on now. Let me get this right, Jules. Research says chicken effing is number one on the AM band.
Well, I
for
was saying
men 18 to 49, chicken effing. All right. I'll go plant the seed.
Whatever you say. I mean, my fault. All right, Matt. A Pat O'Brien story, since you asked for one.
Yes.
This one came from the other studio, the Fox Sports Radio studio.
Did Justin tell you this?
Somebody texted me.
I have not heard this.
Okay, go ahead.
This one says, Pat came into the studio when Jay Moore had his sports show, accusing everybody that they either took or moved his chair. Where's my chair?
Where's my chair? That's my chair.
That sounds like somebody else that is no longer with us.
His former producer, Justin Frostberg, who was just here a few minutes ago, said, I have a great story. A couple
was
years
it about
ago,
the chair?
No, it was about his new book. When Pat's book came out last year or 2 years ago.
I'll be right back right after
he
this.
He called Fox Sports Radio's hotline. He's like, hey, it's Pat. You want an autographed copy of my book? And Justin's like, sure, Pat. I'd love a copy of my book. All right, meet me outside in 5 minutes. goes outside to Sepulveda and Dickens by the El Pollo Loco, speaking of chickens, right by the studio. Up comes Pat and is like, you know,
hey.
86 Camaro, whatever the fancy car he drives.
The Corvette. You like my vet?
The vet.
It's my sweet-ass vet.
Pretty
rolls
sleep.
Down the passenger window, throws the book at him, and then speeds through the green light.
What an a-hole. I love him for that. That's pretty good.
That is great.
If I ever write a book, that's how I'm delivering it to everyone, an autograph. I'm going to rent a Corvette for the day. It's got to be automatic. But I got to rent a Corvette for the day and just drive in front of everybody and roll down the tinted window and throw the book at people and literally drive off.
And by the way, not a copy of his book. Autographed copy of his book. Hey, let me autograph one of these sweet daddies for you. Get it for you, Justin, real quick.
There's two more, Matt, that have your name on them.
Oh, boy.
Well, this one says chicken effing forever. That's not you. Sorry.
I'm with them.
This one says, this was about yesterday, Matt. This says, okay. You and Matt, because you did Joseph F. Smith, I believe.
Yes.
For your dead guy birthday of the day.
Nephew of Joseph Smith.
It said, you and Matt have a pretty damn good knowledge of the Mormon Church. Who knew?
Make
way. Could have played this, too, yesterday. For BYU.
Yeah, we forgot because Brigham Young raised him.
Say, hey, it's BYU.
Chicken
hey,
egg.
What's today? Is it deadline day? Oh, no. Gotta go log on right away. And
And Matt, one more about...
How about that family photo, by the way? I hope
I
many
never
of you listeners...
It. I'm sorry. Let me
tweet
it out.
Many of
now.
You listeners, please.
I had a rough night. I never got to it.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah, Joseph F. Smith family photo. Joseph F. It's right on top of all the information about the Westlake Thanksgiving Christian Yellow Jazz. Ooh. Joseph F. Smith family photo. Yeah, I'm tweeting it out right now.
45 Matt. Kids. Six wives, 45 kids, and he was the president of the LDS that worked with the federal government to end polygamy in the church.
One more, Matt.
Yep.
Tell Matt the cart Nazi. Matt, really upset when people don't take their cart back to the front of the store or into the allotted area.
Society's becoming more lazy by the hour.
Tell Matt the cart Nazi I had a 30 box of Bud jacked from my truck bed while returning my cart. Four cars away. No moss! You burned that guy, man, you chicken effer.
Why you I'm a 30-pack of Bud.
Why you got to F all those chicken? We'll be right back with the top story.
I got a top story
story
on chicken effing.
No, Matt, you better.
I got it.
Joining us, Roy Jones Jr., chicken effing cockfighter.